The headlines this hour: Saudi Arabia rejects a US offer to give China oil supply guarantees to persuade Beijing not to block sanctions against Iran. NATO says US-led forces kill 5 civilians in southern Afghanistan, a day after 12 civilians were killed in NATO air raids. And US President Barack Obama's Democratic Party suffers a major blow as another top Democratic senator says he won't run for re-election.
It's 4:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital of Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Indeed, welcome to the program. Saudi Arabia has rejected a U.S. offer to give China oil supply guarantees to win Beijing's backing for fresh sanctions against Iran. Saudi Foreign Minister Saad Al-Faisal said China does not need incentives from Saudi Arabia to understand how to deal with Iran's nuclear program. The Saudi minister made the comments after meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in Riyadh. Clinton also held talks with Saudi King Abdullah. China is in favor of dialogue over Tehran's nuclear program and has said it would not back new sanctions against Iran. The United States and its European allies are pushing for new sanctions and have repeatedly raised the issue with other permanent members of the United Nations Security Council.
A NATO airstrike in southern Afghanistan has killed 5 civilians and injured 2 others. This a day after 12 civilians were killed in a similar incident involving NATO air raids. NATO said the airstrike in Kandahar province was not related to the U.S.-led anti-Taliban operation known as Operation Mushtarak. It said the victims had been mistaken for insurgents planting improvised bombs. Also on Sunday, 12 people were killed and several others were wounded when a rocket hit a house in Helmand province. Last week, Afghan President Hamid Karzai warned foreign forces against targeting civilians. Mounting civilian casualties have caused political tensions between NATO and the Afghan government in different periods since the invasion of the country in 2001.
Reports say Taliban fighters have stepped up counterattacks against foreign forces in the Afghan city of Marjah. Small mobile teams of militants opened fire on U.S. Marines in different areas in Marjah on Monday, the third day of a major offensive involving more than 15,000 foreign and Afghan forces. U.S. Marines also came under heavy gunfire and sniper attacks as they tried to reach a bazaar in Marjah. NATO forces made little advance on Monday and early Tuesday due to the clashes. NATO and Afghan officials had earlier said most militants have left the targeted areas and that they are gaining the upper hand in their offensive against the Taliban fighters. A U.S. commander has said it could take up to 30 days to make the area safe.
A British soldier serving with NATO forces has been killed in southern Afghanistan while defusing a roadside bomb. Britain's Ministry of Defense says the soldier's death was not linked to a major U.S.-led assault in the south of the country. His death brings to 261 the number of British soldiers killed in operations in Afghanistan since 2001. The majority of British deaths have been caused by the Taliban improvised explosive devices.
U.S. President Barack Obama's Democratic Party has suffered another setback. Another top Democratic senator has decided not to run for re-election this November. Well, that brings the number of Democrats opting to retire to 5. Senator Evan Bayh of Indiana says his decision is due to the excessive partisanship in Congress. Obama reportedly failed to convince the senator against retiring. Bayh joins 4 other Democrats who have announced they will not be running for re-election. The list includes party heavyweights Christopher Dodd and Byron Dorgan. Obama risks losing strong majorities in Congress in November's midterm elections. Democrats have already lost the Senate seat in Massachusetts to Republicans. The loss stripped them of absolute majority in the chamber. Well, former U.S. Senator Mike Gravel told us why he believes with Bayh's retirement, Indiana will in fact go Republican.
Indiana's a lot more conservative than Massachusetts, and so obviously this open seat provides an opportunity for the Republicans. Evan Bayh could have he would have been reelected. So now, with this open seat, there's a good chance that it would go Republican. The difficulty is that the Republicans don't really offer anything in this election. So if you've got a personality that can come to the fore, that personality more than likely will get elected, because certainly you can't get elected on any party strength, because the Republican Party is not in any better shape than the Democratic Party in that regard.
America's black farmers are protesting the U.S. Department of Agriculture as it's dragging its feet on paying out hundreds of millions of dollars they say they missed out on because of racial discrimination by the U.S. government.
And instead of fixing it and doing the right thing, we get more of the same.
They gathered in front of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, calling on Congress to approve President Obama's request for $1.5 billion in back compensation that black farmers won in a class action lawsuit that the government lost back in 1997. Since then, the Agriculture Department has only paid about 14,000 of the 90,000 black farmers in the country. 80,000 farmers remain unpaid for crop subsidy payments that white farmers did receive. In fact, figures show that while white farmers receive on average about $1 million a year from the government in subsidies, black farmers get only about $200. Officials here at the Agriculture Department are not responsive to the needs of America's black farmers, say these black farmer protesters. They're not getting the subsidies they say they deserve from the U.S. federal government because they say they're black.
I went one time to open the farm back up. I couldn't even get nothing. They won't lend me no money. That's what I'm doing here today, for justice.
The Black Farmers Association organized this protest, citing racial disparities in government farm lending and a pattern of racial discrimination in government loans to farmers.
I'm here for the black farmers to be treated justice, for justice.
Are they responsive to your needs?
Well, they hadn't been so far.
The Agriculture Department denies it has discriminated, claiming black farmers have not followed the rules for getting crop subsidy payments. The only white farmer at the protest there to support his African-American fellow farmers.
They've tried to sidestep the issue by saying you didn't fill the forms out, you didn't keep your paperwork, you missed the deadlines. They're just kind of passing the buck along that, you know, trying to get out of it. You know, first off, they got to admit they were wrong. A little hard for people out here to admit they're wrong, that they made a mistake. You know, so it. I think they're just trying to get out of paying.
No more empty promises. No more empty promises.
Black farmers say they are satisfied now that Obama has included the $1.5 billion in his budget, but are accusing Congress and the Agriculture Department of ignoring the plight of black farmers, most of whom are much poorer than their white counterparts. They're hoping the media coverage will help push Congress to finally allocate the money that they say they are due. It would amount to about $50,000 per black farmer in the United States, enough for many who are on the brink of bankruptcy to recover and stay in business. Mike Kellerman, Press TV, Washington.
Leaders of two Lebanese parties have called on Beirut and Damascus to unite against Israeli threats. Hezbollah Secretary General Seyed Hassan Nasrallah met with Progressive Socialist Party's leader Walid Jumblat to discuss the latest national and regional developments. The two highlighted the necessity for national unity as well as solidarity between the two neighbors, Lebanon and Syria that is, to face Israeli threats. The parties have taken steps to reconcile 5 years after the assassination of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri. The outrage led to many bitter misunderstandings among Lebanon's rival political groups.
Lebanon's Parliament Speaker Nabih Berri has urged France to take a firm stance against Israeli aggression on his country. Berri said Beirut demands that France prevent Israel from turning Lebanon into an arena for regional proxy wars. He made the remarks in a meeting with visiting President of the French Senate, Gérard Larcher. Berri's statement came amid heightened concern in Lebanon over Israeli threats against Beirut. The speaker also called for a Middle East region free of nuclear weapons, especially as Israel continues to maintain an arsenal containing hundreds of atomic warheads. On the Iranian enrichment dispute with the West, Berri called on both sides to choose negotiations for the way forward.
Dubai says it will issue arrest warrants for 11 Europeans suspected of being behind the assassination of a top Hamas official. Police officials have also refused to rule out Israeli involvement in the killing.
Whoever was behind this, whether the Israeli machine or not, doesn't matter. We will take all necessary legal steps and arrest warrants will be sent out in due course.
The 11 identified suspects include British, Irish, German and French passport holders. Two Palestinian nationals are already in custody for their alleged role in the killing. Mahmoud al-Mabhouh was found dead in a Dubai hotel last month. Hamas says Mabhouh's murderers entered Dubai as part of an Israeli minister's entourage.
An Arab parliamentary delegation has entered Gaza on a two-day visit to show solidarity with besieged Gazans and to help end the rift between rival Palestinian factions. Let's have a look.
A parliamentary delegation consisting of 26 Arab parliamentarians from different Arab countries arrived in Gaza via the Rafah border crossing on Monday afternoon. This is the first Arab delegation to visit Gaza since Israel tightened its siege on the tiny coastal territory in June 2007 and comes more than 1 year after the Gaza war ended.
Today is a historic day for us. We hope to help bridge the gap between the two main Palestinian factions to reach national reconciliation. We also came here to show solidarity with the people who are under Israeli siege.
Their first destination was the destroyed Palestinian Legislative Council, PLC, in Gaza City. During the two-day trip, they will visit some areas destroyed during the war, meet representatives of Palestinian factions and civil society organizations to get a better understanding of the sufferings and needs of Gazans.
It's a very important visit, although it's late. We'll continue to support Gazans until they achieve their national rights.
We hope that they report to their government and put pressure on them to support the Palestinians here. We hope to see more visits from Arab officials and see the end of the three-year siege.
Although Hamas MPs and officials are happy to have a group of Arab legislators, they expect them to put the pressure on their governments in order to bring an end to the prolonged suffering of Gazans by opening the Rafah crossing. Residents of Gaza who have suffered for years hope that such visits will lead to a unified Arab stance that will help break the ongoing Israeli siege and rebuild the war-torn territory. Yusuf Al-Hilo, Press TV, Gaza.
Now, at least two people have been killed in a clash between two Palestinian groups at a refugee camp in southern Lebanon. An unknown security official says a Fatah member has also been seriously wounded. Rocket-propelled grenades were used in the fighting between the Fatah faction and a local Palestinian movement. Lebanese authorities have very little influence inside the Palestinian camps, which are home to about 400,000 refugees. Ain al-Hilwa is the largest Palestinian refugee camp in Lebanon.
This is Press TV's World News, and these are our headlines. Saudi Arabia rejects a U.S. offer to give China oil supply guarantees to persuade Beijing not to block sanctions against Iran. NATO says U.S.-led forces kill five civilians in southern Afghanistan a day after 12 civilians were killed in NATO air raids. U.S. President Barack Obama's Democratic Party suffers a major blow as another top Democratic senator says he won't run for re-election.